quicker night.
All right, let's talk about this. Because as I said last week, we basically just got through the letter R, four steps to rest. We'll go through the other three today, Lord willing. Rest for me is really coming, just to review, coming into sync with God, with what God's doing, where He's at, where He's going. And if we don't rest, it's impossible to get in sync with Him. Rest is not inactivity. Rest is slowing down to make sure we're not leaving Him behind or He has left us behind. It can go, it's sort of a play on words. But rest is hanging out with Him or living in such a way, and that's why I came up with this acronym. It's four practical steps that has helped me. Maybe you can come up with your own steps that'll be even better, but please share them if you do. But what this doing is it's not slowing down per se, although there is some of that, because we're going to talk about that when we talk about enjoy the moment. It is literally embracing a lifestyle where we're walking with Him at His speed. That's the difference. And then whatever you do, you're resting, because if you're walking at His speed, He will give you His power, His anointing, His wisdom, His revelation, insight to accomplish whatever He has. It's learning to walk with Him. All right, let's jump in. So last week we talked about release. I'm not going to talk much about it. The first step to learning to rest and in sync with Him is we have to do what 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. I am such a slow learner. How long I go before I even think about casting my anxiety on Him? I can go two or three days, I'm stressed out, I'm anxious, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, why am I doing this? There is something supernatural that happens when we'll just, as soon as, and this learn to do it quick, and I'm speaking to myself. When anxiety comes in, is to find a quiet place if we need to, or if we're in a busy place, at least do it in our spirit and in our mind while we're multitasking with the outside world. Go, Father, You're bigger than this. You're better than this. You have the answer to this. I release my concerns to You. But there is something in me that just, I forget. Is anybody else that way? And then when it's really bad and I'm on drugs and I can't sleep for three nights, and I'm exaggerating, and do it as fast as you can. Give it to the Lord and release it. Release it as soon as you start feeling lack of peace. Start feeling lack of anxiety and stay there until it's released. And we talked a lot about worship. One of the best ways to release anxieties is to go into worship. As I talked about, this quote from Derek Prince, if you only have 10 minutes to pray, take 7 or 8 of them to worship. Derek Prince was a well-known international speaker in the 70s, maybe into the 80s. I'm not sure when he stopped ministering. If you ever want to listen, he was a charismatic theology. If you ever want to listen to some good teaching, go out there on the internet or podcasts. I'm sure people's uploaded. They didn't have that one in his lifetime, but I'm sure there's people uploaded. We're talking one of the top-notch teachers of the last century. And just go out there and listen to him. But the point here is to just start worshiping Him. Because what it does is it connects your spirit to His spirit. When we're anxious, our soul is ruling, not our spirit. Our soul is churning. How many of you know what the churn's like? How do we do this? How do we figure this out? What's going to happen? And it's like a hamster on a cage. Is you're either your mind or emotions, or it's really bad if it's both your mind and emotions. You got two hamsters on cages. And they're running in there. Quickly stop, because there's something in me that goes, I'm going to figure this out. There's something in me, I'm good enough, I can get the answer. Well, maybe. But after 10 minutes, if you hadn't figured it out, start worshiping. Start releasing. Start surrendering. Especially if it's a disappointment or a loss, surrender it to the Lord and say, I do not understand. I do not know what's going on. And to release it, and when it comes back, release it again. This is what I do. Maybe it doesn't work for you. There's no magical. This isn't a biblical principle per se. But I imagine myself walking to a cross on Golgotha. I mean, it's in my head. I'm not really walking 2,000 years ago to a cross on Golgotha. But I'm walking it and I'm laying it down at the bottom of the cross. And saying, I know you're big enough for this. You may have to do that a lot in a row. And then eventually your spirit will start overtaking your soul and a sense of peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And then peace which surpasses your mind. It actually says your understanding, but your mind will come. That means a peace that comes over you and your mind can't figure it out. Stay there. If you'll start developing that lifestyle of surrendering and going to Him, you start on the first step of learning to rest. We said that. Well, that's all we talked about last week. So let's go to this next one. Enjoy the moment. Lord, help me to teach this how I've been trying to practice it in my life. Let me say it this way. God is not looking for employees. He's looking for lovers. God is trying to show us that it's all right to enjoy life. There's also something in us that the more we move, the more activity we have, the more we can do for the Lord, the more whatever, somehow or another we get some kind of spiritual brownie points. And it's really hard on Americans. Americans are taught that if you don't work, you're lazy. Okay, we got to work or you don't eat. That's a biblical principle. But God created a beautiful planet. He created beautiful people for us to enjoy and not work at different times. You follow what I'm saying? And so one of the things that helps, this is going to sound strange, but I'm telling you, it works for me. To start getting in sync with Him is to start enjoying the moment. It's to be present, to cherish, to start developing awe and wonder about even simple things. Recently, I try to practice this. Unfortunately, I have to schedule practice enjoying. Maybe I'll get delivered one day. But I'm even trying to do it when I'm even on the clock. I was outside somewhere and I was trying to enjoy sitting there and I turned my phone on do not disturb, put it in my pocket. Unfortunately, I take a lot of notes and a lot of revelation that God gives me. So I pull out my phone and take it. And these times I've started taking index cards or a little tiny notepad so I don't have to bring out my phone because as soon as I bring out my phone, I get distracted. It's sort of a balance. I had a lot of notes He was giving me today over there. I was debating, do I put it on the notepad or put it in my phone? Either way. But just sit there and I just started looking at a tree. Okay, this is bizarre, I know. Just watching how it branched off. Why does this tree, the branches go this way and go that way? And why the leaves? Just trying to focus on the tree. I didn't even really have any questions. But before it was over with, I was like, this is cool. Sort of an awe and wonder about the tree. God thought everything and put DNA into that tree and put genetics in that tree or whatever it makes plants go. I don't know if they have DNA, but whatever it is, He planned it to do it that way. And as you start zeroing in on different parts of it, just spending the time of it, it was fascinating. Now that was a tree. I don't know if I ever do that again, but you can start doing that. I've started trying to do it with people in conversations. We're just talking. I'll just start going, wonder why God created them. I don't ask them, but why God created them. Why do they look this way, that way? And before you know it, you start noticing things about them that you never noticed before. And you enter into this awe and wonder because you know there's a creator that's creating them. And you leave those things, you feel so much more relaxed. All right, Lord, give us insight. Socrates, here's a quote. Beware the barrenness of a busy life. I don't know how many of you have been outside the Western world. Australia, Canada, America, Western Europe. But the Western world does not like to sit. Now that produces some cool things. Most of the inventions come out of the Western world, I have. But also the most anxiousness, neurotic, no rest. There's a balance here. And there is something, it is all right to enjoy life. Do you hear me? I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't even know what that means for you. How much are you enjoying life, or how much are we just trying to take a breath before our next appointment? I want to challenge you, that's probably not enjoying life, that's enduring life. And to sit back and go, okay, what would it look like if heaven was on earth in my area? Where's the balance? Would I be this busy? Okay, so let me give you another secular quote. I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. He's Chinese. Byung Chun Han. As if anybody, maybe have anybody ever read any of his books? He's got like 30, 40 books. So follow me on this. There's a lot of stuff in this quote. But I think it applies. We encounter a glut of information that distracts us from having experiences with the things in the world. And that sums it up. And he goes on, the digital screen determines all of our experiences, from movies to articles to books, and it shields us from reality. And if we can pull ourselves from the digital world, now I'm a software developer for a living, so I'm not cutting down the digital world. But God's world is much more fascinating and enduring. That includes people, that includes plants, that includes topography. I was talking to Alexis. She's been to what I think is the prettiest place on earth, is the Jungfrau region of Switzerland, and they went here this last time, and she thinks it's the top of hers. And, you know, it's just gorgeous. But if I'd gone through that whole thing looking at my smartphone while I'm on the train, you get my point. Ooh, here's another one by this Chinese guy. You all right with these quotes? I'm going to do them anyway. There's a lot of wisdom in people that aren't Christians, because some of them think deeply and God speaks to them in the way He can speak to them. They're not saved. The smartphone is a mobile labor camp in which we voluntarily put ourselves. That's a good one, isn't it? Oh, last quote from this. Well, maybe not. I don't know how many I've got here. There's another one from this Chinese guy. Some good wisdom. We are so stimulated, chiefly by the internet, that we paradoxically cannot feel or comprehend much of anything outside of it. Man, that hits home with me. Tim Kreider. Now, he's actually a Christian, so if that makes you feel better. Life is too short to be busy. So I don't know if Jesus did this or not. It doesn't say in the Bible. You could probably infer. But He was with His disciples for 3 years. I think there were a lot of times they just had a good time sitting around at night, campfire, telling jokes. Probably didn't tell scary stories. But they probably told jokes, told heavenly stories, and just had a good downtime. And that increased their ability to be in sync with God, because God is just bigger than information. God is bigger than just revelation. So just try sometime, take a longer breaks. If you're going out to eat coffee with somebody, or you're doing that at your house, go longer than the conversation is, and just to sit there. And when it's over, it's over. just to do things like that. Sit longer. And I think you'll start finding yourself more in sync with Him because He loves this world. He loves you. The internet's eventually probably going to be replaced with something. It's not going away. It'll be some other technology. But you and Him, and then when we spend time in the presence, here we go, of the things He's created, you get to know the Creator better. And He didn't create the internet. He can use the internet. All right, let's move on so we can get through all these. So let me just pray, and then we'll go to the S. Father, I pray right now for myself and each person here. Show us where we can enjoy what and who You have created more. Give us practical steps and practical guidelines. And show us that our value is not in being employees, but lovers of what You've created. In Jesus' name, amen. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This should be a daily thing. But really, what you're trying to do when you're releasing your concerns is to get to touch the Spirit. When you're trying to enjoy the moment, it's slowing down to hear His voice. And as we slow down and enjoy the moment, it puts us in a position to walk with Him in a place of receiving better. I guarantee you, if you'll actually enjoy the moment, I mean, you may actually be busy. Maybe you're in a room with three or four people and you're going through something. To enjoy it and going, instead of going, how soon do I get out of this thing? One way that I judge myself at how well I'm doing the releasing and the enjoying and sensitive is this. Could I hear Him? At the end of the day, ask yourself this question. Could I have heard Him at any time during the day if He spoke? What He's trying to do is not just us to get to hear His voice better, but to be in a position to hear Him immediately when He speaks. So as you start off your day, go, Father, bless Him, worship Him, and say, help me to be sensitive so that at any second during this day You want to say something, point out something, bring something to my attention, I'm recognizing it. So it's not necessarily slowing down on the outside, although that does, there's places for that. I just talked about that. But it's slowing your soul down so that it can be sensitive to your spirit. Go to this last one, and then we'll be done here. Trust. What did I put? In God. Trusting in God is one of the hardest things to do, but we say it all the time, and I think we don't live it much. Trusting Him for the past. Things that have happened you can't change. Regrets. Do we trust Him for those things? Or does it constantly plague us? If it does, go back to step one. Trust Him that He can redeem the past. You'll remember it. You won't forget it. But He can take the pain of it away if it needs to be. Well, how do you do that? Go back to step one and do it and worship Him until it is released. Do that in the present. We talked about in the present if you got concerns. Also, and we talked about it in step one for the release for the future. We're worried about the future. But I want to bring out, do it about the past too. Don't let it haunt you. Don't let it keep you from rest. I mean, we all have regrets, some minor, some major. You know, my youngest kid is almost 22. I think we did a good job, but as I look back, I go, you know, I would have done this differently. But I did the best I knew how at the time. But man, if I had a do-over, if I could take a mulligan, I would do this or I would do that. Or maybe a past marriage or a past employee-type employer relationship. If those things come up a lot, it's keeping you from being at rest, being in sync. You could call this sync, S-Y-N-C, with the Holy Spirit. Give it to Him and say, you know, I know I can't do it over again, but I give it to You, Father. And whether you did it consciously or unconsciously or you just was walking away from the Lord, give those things to the Lord and release it to Him and claim Romans 8:28. I cause all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord. And do that. Don't let your past haunt you. And if you've never done this, it may take you a long time to work through these issues. But work through them and keep a short account. Once you work through them, as soon as something pops up in anxiety or regret, deal with it then. Don't wait a year. Because they have a way of just sort of hanging out inside your soul. And they'll pop up at times you don't expect. Well, how can, there's two things. How do I know if I'm not trusting the Lord? One sign is, what do you get angry about? I'm not talking a righteous anger about injustice. What do you get angry about? This is a sign something's not quite dealt with. And we're not going to go into the whole thing of anger management. But look for the trigger points. Why, when this comes up, I remember this, or somebody does this to me, I start getting angry. Something's out of sync. Jesus never got angry, except righteous anger. He got righteous anger a lot at the Pharisees. He even overturned tables in the temple and the money changers. So if you do that, I get it. Don't overturn the offering baskets. We'll talk about it. If something's not right there. We're not selling anything, so that ought to help. But what is it that's triggering me? There's something inside there. And go, Father, just go to Him and trust. Say, what is this? I want victory over this so it doesn't hold me. There's been things in my life, and maybe still are, but not consciously that I know of. There's been things in my life that were trigger points. When I knew they would start happening, oh man, it's over with. It's usually with my kids with certain behaviors. And so I'd say, Lord, what is the deal with this? And it doesn't matter the examples, because everybody's life's different. But start asking them, start analyzing, why is it triggering me? Do I feel disrespected? Is it just because I'm impatient and I don't want to deal with this kid that doesn't know any better? You know, that's just the price of parents. It takes 20 years to raise them because it takes 20 years to raise them. And then it's just enough to sort of get going. You follow what I'm saying? How many of us have grown more since we were 20 than the first 20 years? But what is it that triggers me to get angry? And just walk with that with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I'll be glad to talk with you more offline. Offline, there's the software deal. Be glad to talk with you more after this meeting. When you do Zoom meetings and Microsoft Team meetings all day long, you work remote, offline's like second nature. Being a software developer. I'm feeling triggered now. You're asking too many questions. I'm kidding. Another thing that we need to learn to trust the Lord for, and we're going, you have to go deep on that. I mean, these could be years to work through some of this stuff. Some of the things that triggered me was not overnight. You know, if you've been married any length of time, you know what buttons to push on your spouse to trigger them. And then when they push yours, you push them back, and then it really gets bad. Am I the only one?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So if it ever happens to you, okay, so anger, here's the another one, is complaining. Why do we complain? A zillion reasons. I mean, that's sort of a dumb question. But complaining is the opposite of resting. Complaining is when we realize our expectations, that the circumstances are not going to match our expectations. Complaining is realizing that our thoughts are winning and our spirit is losing. Complaining is realizing that I've lost faith in God and my circumstances are bigger than what He can do. Just because I complained? Yeah. So complaining is a mismatch between what is happening in reality and expectations. And it happens all day long. And so we have to go to the Lord and say, is this something you want me to do? Which is better than complaining, prayer, and push through it. Bind it up like He did on Friday night with His sickness. Or is this something that my soul set up as an expectation and my spirit doesn't want to happen? That could take a little while to figure that out. But think of complaining, okay, I'm not going to go down this route. It's not working out the way I thought. Do I need to do spiritual warfare over it? Battle over it? Bind up, cast out. Stand, as it says three times in Ephesians 6. Or is this something I need to release to Him because it's not His expectation? I can't give you an answer on that. But you need to struggle through that and say, well, things aren't quite working out like I want them to, and I'm seeking the Lord as to what to do. Now, I have found that generally when you bind up, cast out, do deliverance, that you usually almost know immediately, I've got to do this to get through it. I'm just throwing that out. Philippians 4:4, popular sermon message verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, this is what I do when things don't work out good. I stick to the spirit of this verse. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad it's working out. God's in control. That's complaining using verses. I will say it again, rejoice. Oh, and then I get to verse 5 and realize, okay, I've been had. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. When you rejoice in the Lord in the right way, it produces a calmness. It produces a gentleness. And the Lord is near. When there's anger, frustration, irritation, He hasn't left you, but He's not near. It's going deep, isn't it? We're going to have a lot to work on this week, or at least I will. And then verse 6 goes back to the verse point 1 up there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests known to God. So these are things hopefully will work for you. You may have something better. I would write them down. When you're anxious, when you're upset, when you're frustrated, is to go, let me release these concerns. Try to enjoy the moment. Start getting to the place you enjoy life instead of enduring it. And there's going to be, if you're an average American, you're probably going to have to cut out a huge part of your life. I'm being blunt. How many of us have read a paper book anytime soon? Recently, all right. You got a white margin around the outside. Most Americans' lives, and I throw myself into it, there is no margin. The to-do list, the notes, the honey to-do list, or the Craig to-do list, or the yard to-do list, or the work to-do. It goes from side to side and top to bottom. Well, God, give me strength to go through this. You know, He probably won't very long. What you need to ask is, God, give me the strength to ruthlessly cut out of this what is not eternal or what's necessary for life. Show me how to cut it out. Well, I may offend some people. That's all right. They're not going to be the ones to get burned out with you. Create margin in your life so that you can just enjoy the moment. And also, who knows what spontaneous things will come up that you can actually make happen. Amen? Let's stand. Let me pray over you guys. Because we're going to be people that walk in sync with the Father. And we are. We're getting better at it. What'd you say?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we can get out here early tonight. It's good. Succinct and to the point so you can enjoy the rest of your evening. So, Father, we just love you. We know, Holy Spirit, we know, Jesus, you were always doing things, but you were never busy. You were never out of control. You just did what the Father told you and what you saw him do, as John 5 and 15 says. Help us to be the same way, to enjoy life and to be at any moment have the ability to hear when you're talking to us. And we trust you with our past and our present and our future. And Father, just make us into a group of people that are in sync with what you're doing and where you're going and what you're saying to us as a group and individually. I just pray blessings upon this group. It'll be the best week of their life in terms of hearing your voice. No matter what circumstances come, they will feel your presence more than they ever have before. And they will enjoy, no matter even what circumstances happen, they will enjoy seeing you in the people and in the world that you have created. In Jesus' name, amen.